I want to appreciate the congregation here, the leadership, the elders, obviously, the members working together, providing great hospitality for me, for my family, for us. And I want to thank Brother Smith, Brother Rogers, also for the invitation to allowing me and invited me to be part of this preacher's study. I was once in the pews 2 years ago. I had a great experience to listen to Brother Johnny Elmore. Obviously, there has been a lot of great preachers that have stood here in the pulpit and that have encouraged us. And unfortunately for us, they have passed away. Fortunate for them, we believe, we hope they are resting from their labors. But their teachings, their exhortations, their motivations still are with us. Let us continue to pray for the Elmore family and all those who have lost dear family with them. This afternoon, I would like to take a few minutes to study, to analyze for a little bit about this topic that for us as leaders might go through, might have gone through, or might, you know, go in the future, or maybe you're going through this discouragement. And I hope this lesson can help overcome discouragement, can help you give you a better analytical view, a better perspective on what God has to say on discouragement. And I am going to be referring to leaders, meaning teachers of the congregations, deacons, elders, evangelists of the congregation. But I'm sure we can, the sisters from the congregation or a member of a congregation that doesn't teach can, I'm sure, find it helpful in your Christian walk. I hope it does. There has been a time in our life that there's a phrase that it is said in English, your win or my win has been knocked out from our stomach, you know. Our confidence was shattered. Our hearts became discouraged because maybe someone told you just couldn't accomplish what you really wanted to. And they say, you know, I tried and tried, but there's no way you can accomplish it. It just didn't work. Some tasks set before us maybe seemed bigger than we could handle ourselves. Those who once worked beside us, you know, on a very important task or on a very important situation, maybe they themselves got discouraged and left us, making us feel discouraged. You know, the scripture gives certain examples of those who face periods, moments of discouragement in their lives. But one in particular, there's one particular example that not only show us the way discouragement can come, but also it shows us the way that it can eventually be conquered. You know, that example is from or taken from the story of Nehemiah. He faced a very seemingly uncomplicated task that quickly turned into a sizable problem. You know, he set out to build a wall, but he found himself having to contend, to deal with sarcasm, criticism, conspiracy, mockery, and no wonder there was some type of discouragement. But whenever we take a look at what happened in his life, in that moment of his life, we can learn how we can also, although be in the same shoes, be in the same shoes as he did, he was once, but how we can deal with it as he did in his time. Nehemiah, of course, it is before the time of Jesus Christ, before coming, and I'm sure in the synagogues, I'm sure in the temples, wherever the law was being read, I'm sure Nehemiah was one where they would read to understand and to overcome discouragement. Well, the setting of our story begins before Nehemiah was even born. The Babylonian Empire ruled the world at that time. In 586 BC, their army swept through the land of Israel, conquering city after city until they came to the city of Jerusalem. And since Jerusalem was a strong city, it was fortified with immense walls around it to protect it from their enemies. The conquest took a while, but eventually those walls from Jerusalem, eventually they were breached and they were taken down. Not only was the city set on fire, but even the great temple completely destroyed. And so the Babylonians tore down the walls that had been the city's only defense. Well, what happens next? The Jew become slaves, and thousands of Jewish hostages were taken from Jerusalem into far regions of Babylon, where they stayed until the Babylonian Empire fell to the Medes and the Persians. And so for nearly 70 years later, the great Babylonian Empire fell to the Medo-Persian Empire. Now, for political reasons, and I think as well as strategic reasons, the leaders of the Medo-Persian Empire, King Cyrus of Persia, allowed some of those Jews, those that were captive, to return to Babylon, to return to their city, to Jerusalem, to their homeland in Israel. Now that was an option. That's if they wanted to. And many of the Jews chose to return to their homeland in Jerusalem, but they returned to a city that had been completely destroyed. And it had been in ruins for about 70 years. And so slowly, the people began to rebuild their homes. The city by itself, it was very neglected. Years later, during the reign of Persian King Artaxerxes, word of the Jerusalem's fate, it came and it reached to Nehemiah. Nehemiah heard it. Nehemiah heard that the city in Jerusalem, was torn down. And so he was deeply grieved. He was saddened. So just imagine for a second, hearing of your people, of your maybe cousins or of your uncles or grandparents or those that once were dear to you in a city very dear to you, being destroyed. How would you feel? Well, that's how he felt. That's how Nehemiah felt. Now, Nehemiah was a godly man. He was one who served as a cup bearer a position that would be maybe similar to a prime minister of today's age. And so this would be, some believe, a type of the cup that he would use to serve the king. And when Nehemiah, you know, was saddened, stressed, grieved over what had happened in Jerusalem, well, his friend, the king, noticed it. Yes, people around you notice. People who are with you and care for you, they notice your grief. And so the king noticed that. And the king had compassion on his friend. He allowed Nehemiah to return to Jerusalem with all the supplies he needed, with all the authorization that he needed to do what? To rebuild the walls of Jerusalem once again. What a wonderful story. But when Nehemiah arrives to Jerusalem and he analyzes around and he looks around how Jerusalem was, he found that the walls was completely ruined. He found that the city itself was very vulnerable, was very easily to be attacked and destroyed again from their enemies. And so Nehemiah begins a job. He begins a task. He sets forth a task, and that is to organize the people of Jerusalem, to join them together and rebuild those walls of the city. You know, at first, everything seemed to be going well, but all of a sudden, all of that organization, all that positivity soon changed. And while Nehemiah's workers were building up Jerusalem's wall, a little every day, their confidence and their faith was torn apart constantly by the threats and criticisms of their enemies, to the point that finally their discouragement brought the work to a complete pause, to a complete standstill. There are certain reasons that are found in the book of Nehemiah chapter 4 to note their discouragement. And let's take a few minutes to study some of them and see and understand that, you know, sometimes in our lives, we might even go through the same reasons to become discouraged. Well, the first reason was that if you would be walking around in Jerusalem at that time, you would notice that the people would be discouraged because the loss of strength. So in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10, Judah tells this, and he mentions this, the strength of the burden bearers, those strong individuals who were placed, even the trust and the care is failing. Their strength is failing. And this literally means that they were stumbling, tottering, staggering under the load. One of the main reasons for rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem in the first place was for protection. But in their haste to protect the city from without, they had neglected to protect themselves against an enemy from within. And that was physical tiredness. Physical tiredness that eventually led them to do what? To feel what? To feel discouragement. To feel discouraged. They started strong, but now they were too tired to finish the job. It's like when you go and work out the beginning of the year. I'm going to work out. I'm going to do that. You have everything planned. Like I did this year, it didn't work out. But then you say, you know what, it's too much. It's just too much. And so you become discouraged to do that. Well, that's, exercise profits little, but godliness profits much. Well, I mean, if you do that in exercise, it's okay. You can live with it in a way. Just be careful because you don't want to die over a heart attack or something for eating too much. But if you get discouraged in the spiritual realm, that's when there's a problem. That's when we need to recharge our batteries. That's when we need courage, motivation to continue on. But nevertheless, in this moment, in this time, they had lost strength. That was one of the reasons why they were discouraged. A second reason was because they had lost vision. Leaders need vision. There are John Maxwell's books. There are other great leadership books out there that you can mention. But they usually come to the same conclusion. Leaders need vision. You need to see what is not there. You need to see what is not there. And so the individuals, the people there in Jerusalem, the ones that were trying to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, had a problem, had a discouragement because they didn't have vision. They were only seeing rubbish. They were only seeing problem in a way. Well, that's what we continue on reading there in verse 10. And the Hebrew word for rubbish just means dry earth or debris. In other words, they could only see piles and piles of rocks, and they could only see broken bricks and broken walls, and they would complain and they would say, "Well, that's too much," because they were seeing in a physical, earthly way of seeing things. There was no vision. Their grand vision that they had at the beginning of rebuilding that city, rebuilding the walls, was now gone, was now evaporating into the air. They took their eyes off the wall and they concentrated on everything that was rubbish, and that brought them discouragement. Could it be a reason that your discouragement is because that you have taken your eyes off from God's help? That help that He gave you before to accomplish many great things. And so you've taken your eyes off His help, and you're just focused on the present, on the never-ending task, never-ending work that you have before you. You're too focused on the future, and so there's just a big task before you. Maybe printing many correspondence studies. Thinking about how door knocking or passing out flyers, or there's just too much work to do, too much people to counsel, and sometimes they don't listen, and sometimes they don't get it, and so you think about that, and so you just lost your faith, you just lost your vision, you just got discouraged. Well, that's what happened with them. And yes, it's a tough job. It's a tough job. It was a tough job to rebuild those walls. And so they just saw the debris, the rubbish. I tell my kids, clean your room. They say, no, it's too much. And they're only seeing, a very disorganized room. They see their clothes on the floor. And so I say, clean your room, and then once you finish, you're gonna feel better. And so they do. They finish and they feel better. But they have to have a vision that the room can be better. But if they don't have that vision, they only look at the trash that is on the floor, at the clothes that is all disorganized, and so that's why they get discouraged. You know? And so sometimes, if we're not careful, as children that we should be, but not in that way, we get discouraged like children, because we can lose vision. And so they lost vision and they got discouraged. Well, what's another reason? A third reason why they got discouraged? A loss of confidence. Loss of confidence. At the end of verse 10, there in Nehemiah chapter 4, it shows how the people, how they were not only physically tired, they were not only lost their vision, but their confidence had been worn out. As far as they were concerned, they simply couldn't rebuild the wall. They are not able to build the wall. That was their mindset. And as we know, once you get your mindset on something, you know, it might be difficult to come around and change it. But it is possible. It is possible. Our mind, our brain, it is, God made it so brilliantly, amazing how if we really change our way of thinking, it can transform your life. Talk about neuroplasticity. Search it. It's very good information. Neuroplasticity. If you have a good mind, you have a good, you know, motivation, and you have a good thoughts, man, you can change your life. You can renew your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. But they had lost confidence, and they just simply couldn't rebuild the wall. You know, if we go back to verse 6, there in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says that they had a mind to work. Talk about the mind, right? Very important. How you think. They had a mind to work. But now their motivation was gone. And in its place, they were overwhelmed. They had feelings of overwhelm. They thought, I'll never finish this task. I'll never finish the task before me. And so, has your confidence been flattered? Has your confidence been in this situation also? Are you beginning to think that the task before you is too big for you? Or maybe are you beginning to think that you're not adequately capable, maybe academically, to do God's work? You know? And finally, they had lost security. They were discouraged because of a loss of security. You know, the Jews had enemies. They had enemies who didn't want them to succeed. And these enemies made them feel perfectly clear that they didn't want them to succeed. Judah told Nehemiah there in verse 11, "And our adversaries said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease." Every step of the way, the Jews had to constantly watch over their shoulders, not knowing in any moment, you know, when they would be attacked. And so maybe that is one of the reasons why you are discouraged, or one of the reasons why you will be discouraged of someone who is hoping for you to fail. Do you know that person? Do you know that someone? Someone who will be quick to point out that you are inadequate, that you cannot do it, to point out that you will fail. Well, loss of strength, loss of vision, loss of confidence, loss of security. any of which of these would be enough to stop you, to discourage you. But imagine all of them combined. No wonder it brought the project of building the walls in Jerusalem to a pause, to a standstill. Well, fortunately, thank God for this, Nehemiah was not the kind of person who just stood around with his hands on the pockets. What do we do? I don't know, with their shoulders raised up, with his head down. He wasn't that type of person. Instead, he began to put in action five things that help the people to get out of their discouragement and motivated them to continue on working confidently, trusting in the Lord. And as we're going to be seeing here, how these five, if we put them to practice in our life, it will help us to also overcome discouragement. Well, number one, he installed in them, motivated them to unite. To unite around a common goal. You know, Nehemiah said there in verse 13, we're still in chapter 4, verse 13. Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. You know, Nehemiah, he saw that the basic unit for encouragement was the family. However, the strength of families working together toward a common goal had, in this moment, been broken up by having relatives work in different places around Jerusalem. But he saw something that nobody saw. He saw that they needed to work together. He saw a place to put them together and work, and it really, in other words, reorganize them. And sometimes we need that. We need reorganization. We're not saying you're not organized. We're just saying you and I might need a little bit more organization, reorganization. And so they teamed up, and they themselves had a common goal, together working, unified, and that helped a lot. If you're discouraged, for the task you have in front of you, get your family on board with you. If you feel that there's no one to be with you, to help you, a family member to be with you, well, then get the church family member with you. Okay, we have another family, a spiritual family, brothers and sisters in Christ, where they can also be as a family and to us. Secondly, Nehemiah directed their attention, because that's what happens, remember? You get discouraged, and so you start thinking different, and so you start thinking, hey, you know what, for what? You know, it's too much, I'm not adequate, you know, why do I have to do it? And so you lose faith in yourself. So what Nehemiah, you know, the wisdom God gives him, he redirects their attention to who? To the Lord. Verse 14, the Bible tells us there in Nehemiah says, and I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome. You know, Nehemiah saw that the people's attention was being diverted from the Lord in two separate directions. Well, first, their attention had been diverted towards the enemies. They were looking at the enemies. They began to worry. They began to worry about what the enemies might do and became afraid of what the enemies could do. And secondly, their attention had been diverted towards the rubbish. Remember, we talked about that? The rubbish, the debris that was there. And so they were distracted. They were distracted. Nehemiah had to get their eyes back to who? Back to the Lord. Until he could do that, there would be no progress. Remember, that's the foundation. That's the foundation. When we have our attention to the Lord, well, we have a good foundation to build up the work, the task before us. And when there's no foundation, solid foundation, then there is no progress. It might seem as progress, but it will eventually fall away as it did in this case. So he reminds the people that the Lord was powerful. Even more powerful than the greatest enemy. More powerful than the greatest enemy. And so God wanted the walls to be built. So since that was what God wanted, they didn't need to worry about their enemies. God was quite capable. God was quite capable of taking care of them. If you're doing something that it is pleasing unto the Lord, then remember and not forget that the Lord will help you. The Lord is with you. And those who might be possibly, visibly, might be against the work, against you, God will take care of it. God will take care of it. There are numbers and number and illustration, practical illustration of how God, I'm talking to a group of men and believers who have seen the work in many other places grow and flourish, and how God has been, what it says, powerful in spite of the challenges that it might or have risen in that moment. Challenges will present themselves, but we hope these points will help to overcome those challenges, to encourage, be motivated to look to the Lord. Thirdly, maintain a balance. That's another motivation that Nehemiah gave to the people there. He helped them to maintain a balance. In verse 15, it says, "And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had brought their plot to nothing." Well, talk about what God can do, right? Talk about the help God can do in your work. Okay? So, brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. Verse 17 says, "Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other held a weapon." And so like us, when we get discouraged, it is mainly because we're only seeing one thing at a time, never the whole picture. As far as these people were concerned, they either had to take time to either build the wall or fight. And as we know, as long as they were building, they couldn't fight. And as long as they were fighting, they couldn't build. Nehemiah had to help them understand to maintain a balance, to have be ready for both scenarios. Build and get, be ready to defend. Be ready to fight. He brought both actions together. And so he urged them to maintain a balance in working to rebuild the walls while also being prepared to fight. Maybe as leaders, we need to step back. We need to take a look at the big picture once again and remind ourselves why. Why are we want to be devoted to the task before us? You began the task because it was right before God. It was the right thing to do. And it was worthy of your energy, worthy of your efforts. Don't forget that. Fourthly, he also had a rally point. He says in verse 19 and 20, how he said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, the great is great and extensive, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. And so he knew that the enemy could attack at any time. Could attack not only at any time, but also at any place along the wall. And so the people working along one section needed to know if they were attacked, they had to come and help out. They knew to come and help out. He organized them in a way in which they were helping each other. Not only would they be fighting at each other's side, but Nehemiah reminded them once again, bringing them back to God. God would be fighting along them, with them, alongside of them. And too often, we might be encouraged when we are under attack because we feel isolated. We feel alone. Maybe we feel we don't have friends we can talk to. We don't have someone that can come alongside of us and help us in the task that we are in. You know, that idea of drawing the people together to help out together, it is, discovered when you read the scriptures of the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, but I'm gonna make two points in the Old Testament. When David was discouraged for Saul, he was running away from his life. He was discouraged about Saul trying to kill him, and Saul being a man of even of battle. Saul being the king, having men under him, so that, you know, at his word, go find David and kill him. You know, having that in his head, having David that in his mind, would feel discouraged. And who came along to help him? Jonathan, right? Jonathan was there to encourage him. Ironically, was the son of the man that wanted him dead. Now, how about Elijah? Okay, there in 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah was scared, was depressed. He felt that whenever he heard, you know, they want to kill me. And so he ran away, and he went into the cave, and he didn't want to come out. Ironically, after having an amazing victory in Mount Carmel. But he felt that. Well, who came along and helped him? Elisha. Elisha came for him to help him. We all need someone who will drop in, who will come, who will run if he needs to come and help us. And that's something that would help to overcome to overcome discouragement. That would mean that you would tell that someone, hey, there'll be a time when I'm going to have to call you. And I need you. You think you can do that? Finally, Nehemiah. Nehemiah occupied the people in a ministry of serving others also. He said, so we labored in the work, and half of the men held the spears from daybreak until the stars appeared. At the same time, I also said to the people, let each man and his servant stay at night in Jerusalem, that they may be our guard by night and a working party by day. And so he created a system, if you may, a way of encouraging, you know, a friendship system to encourage one another. And that's how they overcame discouragement. Many of us as leaders, began our leadership with confidence, with great enthusiasm, with motivation, with faith in that it will flourish, it will grow, it will come to, you know, be great. But somewhere along the way, we started to feel discouraged. Probably because of some of the same reasons we've talked about there at Nehemiah's time. And so we became discouraged. It's time to realize that God is standing. He's ready. He's beside you. He's ready to help. He's ready to use brothers, even sisters, in Christ to give us a good advice, to give us encouragement. As a family of God, He has given us to close those ranks and work together for what? For a common goal, to be unified. We need to realize that if God is for us, Romans 8, if God is for us, who can possibly be against us? And God uses everything of His authority, including angels, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, to minister, to assist us who have come to know Christ. We need to maintain a balance, working at building the walls of our faith while being prepared to respond to those who might attack us. Prepare to defend and give a reason of our faith. We need to support one another. And it is, I believe, one of the great blessings to be here, to work with each other, to support each other, to encourage each other.